In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is 4th of July weekend, but really I think I want to do more of a 4th of July kind of sermon next Sunday. But I was thinking this morning about an experience of my youth, and that has to do with growing up in Milwaukee. I may have shared it with some of you in the past. But it is the now, I think, completely lapsed tradition of the neighborhood 4th of July parade. And I say neighborhood because back in the day in Milwaukee, every neighborhood had its own parade. And that was a time when there were local marching bands like the Milwaukee Letter Carriers Band. Believe it or not, I played in that for a few years when I was in high school. I was not a letter carrier, but they let me play anyway. And these local little marching bands, not so little sometimes, would go through the neighborhood, and as they went through the neighborhood, people would fall in behind them. And they would end up at one of the parks where they would have free ice cream, the little Dixie cups, if you recall what a Dixie cup was, with the wooden spoon that looked like a tongue depressor, and you had to make sure you didn't get splinters when you ate the Dixie cup. And that was, and all the kids got free ice cream. And that was the 4th of July parade. It was something we all looked forward to. That was different from the big 4th of July parade downtown. But that was at a time when we were just under two decades away from World War II, so World War II was a very recent memory for all the adults, and we were just getting involved in Vietnam, and people thought that was a good idea, and we didn't have the 67 race riots, we didn't have any of the anti-war riots, and so it was a very different time. And it did not take long, by the way, for that parade to kind of just become, this is, don't laugh at this, it's true, a very pathetic one person banging a bass drum, bong, like we were being let off the conscription. And then we ended up at the park and the ice cream wasn't even as good as it used to be, and then I think they finally ended it. And I share that with you this morning because this morning's gospel reading is really kind of the same idea. It's Jesus putting together a parade. And he goes first to the two brothers, Andrew and Simon, and then to the two brothers, James and John, and he begins to assemble his group, his team, his apostles who would be with him, and then be with him so that they could then one day go off and spread the good news. So this is really kind of Jesus gathering up the parade. And he's saying, follow me. Follow me. And they listened. They were ready to listen. And the question that is really put before us this morning, since Jesus continues to say, follow me, to all men and women in every generation, is are we listening to that message of follow me, and are we ready to hear it? He goes to these four fishermen and he says, abandon your career and follow me. Leave everything you know and come with me. Now, we have to be honest, probably this was not their first encounter with Jesus. It's a fairly safe bet that they had heard him speak and teach, and so they were ready to follow him. Nevertheless, he asks them to leave everything that they know and to go be with him. And he says, follow me to us today, but you know, he doesn't say to almost every one of us, he does not say, leave your career. Leave your home behind. Change everything. It's really rather easy for us. Instead, he says what? He goes, give up your habitual sin. Give up your laziness, your spiritual laziness. Give up your grievous sin. Give that up. You can stay home. Keep your same house. Keep your same wardrobe. Keep your same dinnerware that you use every night. Keep all that. I just want you to change the things on the interior. And it's going to be good for you. So if you want to follow me, that's what you have to do. He said, follow me and leave all that garbage behind. Watch different things on television or turn the television off at all. Get off the internet and just follow me. It's really much easier for us. But of course the question is, are we ready to leave behind the things that we need to leave behind? When Jesus approached the fishermen, they were looking for the Messiah. They had been prepared because of their religion to be looking for the Messiah. And that time, that history of the period of the world, the people were very, very keen to see the Messiah. So they were looking for him. And when they heard him talk, I'm sure they said, this might be him. This is the one. And the question for us who hear those words, follow me, is where are our eyes? Are we looking for the Messiah? Very often we'll hear people say, I don't believe in God. I don't know. I don't see him anywhere. And it's like, well, what are you doing with your life? Well, I'm, working 14 hours a day. And when I'm not working, I'm on the internet. And maybe I go out for drinks with my friends. And, well, you know, how do you expect to see God that way? And so we need to change our eyes. We've talked before multiple times about the definition of repentance, to change the eyes of our souls, right? To change the eyes of our souls, to start looking at godly things instead of looking at fallen things. That's what we're being called to do if we're going to follow Jesus. So are we ready to really look for the Messiah? And looking for the Messiah for us is easy because we know who the Messiah is. It's Jesus. All we have to do is change the focus of our eyes from trashy things to beautiful things. Now, Jesus did not come to Simon and Andrew and James and John while they were at prayer. He didn't come to them at a time of emotional crisis. He came to them while they were engaged in something very ordinary, fishing and tending to their nets. And that's how it is for us too. Jesus comes to us in the most ordinary of times, not just in extreme moments of our lives. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to be ready to follow Jesus, then we need to stop looking for magic epiphanies. Say, Lord, I'll only believe if this morning when I wake up, there will be the uncreated light in front of me as I step out of bed. Because that's really not the way God works most of the times. He comes to us in ordinary moments. Quiet time, sitting with our family or sitting by ourselves, folding our children's laundry, preparing dinner. This is when he's coming to us. He comes to everyone during these ordinary moments, because he's with us all the time, 100% of the time, right? Now you say, what about going to church? Shouldn't we especially see him here? And I say, yes, but please remember, and I know since I'm preaching to the congregation on 4th of July, you all get this, going to church is an ordinary thing. It's not extraordinary. It's not something we do once every 4 months. This should be a regular part of our life. This is part of our rhythm. And we need to get past this idea that somehow being in church is something special. We're going to church this Sunday. What do you mean? It's Sunday, we're going to church. But Jesus comes to us during these ordinary moments of life. And then if we're ready to follow Jesus, the question is this: do we recognize him when he comes to us? I have the discussion probably once every 2 weeks with somebody. People will say, you know, Father, God works in mysterious ways. And my response is always, yeah, but he works in very obvious ways most of the time. He's very obvious. The fact that somebody comes to see the priest, that's God at work. The fact that you're all here today, that's God at work. Somebody said to me once years and years ago, nobody here, but they said, you know, I had too many drinks and I went out to the car and I lost my car keys between the time I took them out of my pocket and tried to open my car door, and I had to get a ride home from some friends. Isn't that amazing, Father? God works in such mysterious ways. Mysterious? There's nothing mysterious about that. God's always looking out for us. He always wants us to do the right thing. So simply put, there is no more 4th of July parade in the neighborhoods in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, nor has there been since probably 1969, 1970. Probably a little bit sooner than that even. But there is a parade that you and I are invited to, not only on 4th of July, but every day of our lives. And it's the same parade that Jesus is calling Peter and Andrew and James and John to, and it is the parade to line up behind him. And in order to do that, we don't need to make any changes in our career, in our home. We simply need to change our heart. We don't need to take a class in developing spiritual vision. We just need to turn our eyes away from the icky things of the fallen world to the beautiful things of godliness. And we don't have to do something extraordinary, although I certainly encourage people to go sit on a mountaintop or visit a monastery or go on a retreat. You don't have to do those things. Just open your eyes right here, right now, and you will see that Jesus is around us, among us, at work. The very, very simple message this morning, dear brothers and sisters, is Jesus saying to you and to me, follow me. We just have to be ready to listen to his call.